السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over receivers, this ayat of the Quran Sharif you must have heard many times. But it is just the last part of it where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. First of all, of course, Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ, fear Allah as He should be feared. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Meaning that a person should only leave this world in a state of Islam and Iman. He should not leave this world in any other state except that of being a Muslim, one who has submitted himself to the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, one who is practicing upon Islam, upon Deen, upon Sharia. So what are the dangers to this Iman, and what are the dangers to this Islam of a person? I have mentioned recently, we have been receiving many emails, letters, and listening to people over the telephone or personally. People have become so frustrated, so depressed, and so tired of life that they make such kind of statements which are nothing but statements of kufr, complete rejection of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They lose complete faith and trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They seem to believe that now there is no other way out except to give up Islam and Iman as a solution to their problem. Now the solution to their problem was to strengthen their Iman, to build up that connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, to become pious and righteous, and to develop taqwa, because that is where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala promises that He will find a way out for the person in his problems. Don't look at the disbelievers, the kuffar, the mushrikeen, we're talking about the believers. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself has said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. So Allah Ta'ala promised that He will find a way out for the person in his problems. He will provide for him from sources unknown. So what was the solution to the problem? The solution to the problem was to turn towards that same Allah whom we have displeased in our life. Because it can either be trials and tests for the pious and the righteous ones, and it can be an azab and a punishment, or a wake-up call for sinful ones like us. But there is no other way out but the person makes statements which border on nothing but kufr. So the dangers to this Iman in these times that we are living, there are so many of these dangers lurking around. We cannot discuss all of them in the limited time that we have on a Jumu'ah occasion. However, I have discussed this fitnas in the majlis that we have on Monday nights in some detail. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was addressing his companions. أشرف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على أطعم من أطعام المدينة. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was addressing his beloved companions, each and every one of whom we know was a shining star and a guiding light. أصحابك النجوم بأيهم اقتديتم اهتديتم. My sahabas are like the guiding stars. Whichever one of them you choose for your guidance, you will get guidance. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made each and every one of them a guiding star. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself said, which is that path that you must hold on to very, very strongly? Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi. The road on which I am and my companions are. So that is what Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was addressing those companions of his in whose life there was no question of music after it was declared haram. There was no question of missing any kind of salat. There was no question of not paying zakat. There was no question of staying away from jihad. There was no question of engaging or indulging in sins and vices. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam addresses those companions of his. He climbs on a hillock, small hill, and then he addresses them and he says that, do you see what I see? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asks his companions that, do you see what I see? Now if a person is on a high place, he's on a mountain top or he's on a hill and other people are down, then you do not see. But he did not mean that. He asked them, do you see what I see? So they said, we cannot see what you see. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that, I see fitnas, tests and trials, or different kinds of fitnas, raining upon your homes, like how heavy rain when it comes down, how it pours on the roofs of the houses, like that he said, I can see the fitnas pouring into those homes. Now this was at a time, as I said, when there was nothing but piety, taqwa and everything else that you can think of. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is addressing them. Besides the different interpretations and meanings that have been given, one of the interpretations or one of the meanings that we can take looking at the present day conditions, that this would not have even come into their minds. The companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at that time when he was addressing them, it would not have even come into their minds that a time will come when these same homes that we are living in, there will be huge hotels that will be built. Because where are those 5-star hotels built? Where are those shopping complexes built? Nowhere else except in Madina Sharif. And what was there before the building of these complexes? Go back 1400 years. Which Sahabi was staying where? What do we know? How many different companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lived in those same areas where those shopping complexes have sprung up? And there was nothing wrong if it was a shopping complex. But who does not know when you go into those shopping complexes, what do you see, what do you witness, and what do you hear? Nothing but music and so much of haram things that are taking place where? Those same places where the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam lived. So look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's prediction. Who would have thought that those will be the places where people will hire out rooms from those hotels and then they will watch all the filth on the television screens, the newspapers that come there. I have mentioned many times, 2 or 3 pages are dedicated to the films that are being shown. 2 or 3 pages. Film actors and actresses' pictures. And everything is being promoted. It's not a question of just being lying somewhere. It's being promoted. Many a times it happens that we are renting a room or we are occupying a room next door to some couple or some family that may come in the next room. And we just have to close our ears or keep on reminding that person that you are in Madina Sharif, please switch off the music. Switch off your television. What you are watching is not right. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that these type of fitnas will come. So fitnas are pouring, not only in Madina Sharif, it is pouring everywhere. It's pouring in our own homes. It's pouring in our own lives. It's pouring in our bazaars, in our marketplaces, in our universities, in our colleges. Now there is no question of running away from it. We are not saying that leave the society, go away into the jungle and go and live there. But if we say that we are Muslims and we are believers in Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we have to oppose, tooth and nail these fitnas. And Allah Ta'ala has given us the himmat. 90% of those fitnas that we are caught up in, it is not imposed upon us. It is not forced upon us. We have purchased those fitnas. We have welcomed those fitnas into our homes. And now we are crying. Now somebody wants to take his life because the child has become terrible. He has become a monster in the house. The child has become a rebel. The child wants to take the gun and shoot. The child wants to do this and that. Where did the child pick up all those things from? And somebody wants to take his life for other things. So these are the fitnas. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned a time will come when a person will pass by a grave. He will pass by a grave. Qabristan or anywhere where there is a grave. And this does not mean one person. It will mean that people will become of this nature. When that time will come, people will become of this nature. Their lifestyles will become that. Or there will be so many people that will be doing what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning. That the person will pass by the grave. And after that he will return to that same grave. He will return to the same grave. And with a deep hearted sigh he will say, Ya laytani kuntu makana sahib hazal qabr. وَلَيْسَ بِهِ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْبَلَىٰ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that person will come back to the grave. And then he will say, Hi, how I wish that I was in the place of this person who lies buried here. The person who lies buried here who could have turned to dust. How I wish that I was in his place. In other words, he is very, very desirous of death now. He does not want to live in the world anymore. But if this had been because of deen, if this had been because of deen, that means that person was finding it very difficult in the situation that he was, in the society that he was living, in the home that he was living. He was a pious person, he was an Allahwala. He wanted to obey Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the home environment was such that people in the home were not allowing him to practice upon the deen of Allah Ta'ala. They were making life miserable and difficult for him. And he was not the boss of the house. He was just a young student, or probably he was just a child. And he had to listen to authority. So at such a time, now he must listen to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, or he must listen to the parents. So he was finding it very difficult. Or other people were making life difficult for him because of his deen. Then at that time, if he became desirous that I wish I was in the grave, then it was understandable. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says this is not because of his deen that this person is becoming desirous that I wish I was in the grave instead of this person here. He says it is because of affliction, because of test, because of tribulation, because of trial, because of some kind of calamity that has struck him, because of the distress that he finds himself in. And because of all these reasons, the person says, Hi, I wish that I was in the grave instead of this person. And another explanation that has been given is that this person could have suffered losses in his business. He could have suffered great losses in his business or some other kind of problems. And that's why he is desirous that I wish I was away from this world. But it's not because of his deen. So these type of fitnas that are pouring, this is the situation that we find ourselves in. It's creating restlessness in the hearts of people. It is creating a desire to be in the grave than to be on the surface of the earth. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another hadith sharif which just comes to mind, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا كَانَ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ خِيَارَكُمْ وَأَغْنِيَاءُكُمْ سُمَحَاءَكُمْ وَأُمُورُكُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَكُمْ فَزَهْرُ الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ بَطْنِهَا وَإِذَا كَانَ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ شِرَارَكُمْ وَأَغْنِيَاءُكُمْ بُخَلَاءَكُمْ وَأُمُورُكُمْ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ فَبَطْنُ الْأَرْضِ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ زَهْرِهَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when your umara, when your rich ones or your rulers, when your rulers, those who are appointed amirs over you, both meanings can be taken, when they are going to be, or when they will be, the best amongst you, those who are your rulers, they will be the best amongst you. Not those who are chosen just because of large voting power that they had a mass following for some reason or the other. But they themselves didn't have any kind of qualities. In fact, that is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned in another hadith sharif, that when must you await qiyamah, when must you be ready for the hour to come? He said, when amanat will be destroyed. When amanat will be destroyed. For amanat, there will be betrayal of the trust. So they asked Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that what does it mean, betrayal of the trust? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا وُسَّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَزِرِ السَّاعَ. Which means this, that when power and position will be given, or when affairs of the ummah, when affairs of the people will be entrusted to those people who are least eligible for it, they are not capable, they are not efficient, they are nothing, they are there for nothing but wealth, and they are there for corruption, they are there to loot, they are there to make themselves rich at the expense of the citizens. When this type of thing will take place, that they will be given the positions on the land, then at that time you must await Qiyamah. Qiyamah is not far away after that. Corruption has set in. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that when your amirs, when the people that will be appointed leaders over you, then they will be the best amongst you. They will be those people who will have good character, in other words. They will be those who will be trustworthy. They will be honest. They will be sincere. They are there for nothing but to serve the community. Salaries and everything else is by the way. That will not be their motive. They will not try to aspire for positions because they want the wealth. They are going there so that they may be able to serve the community. But when the time comes that instead of such kind of people will be appointed who have no character, who have no akhlaq, whose morals are questionable, they have no understanding of deen, of Quran, of sunnah. We're not talking about the non-Muslims, we're talking even about the Muslim lands. Look at what kind of people are being appointed at the head in Muslim lands. Some of them you cannot even recognize that they are Muslims. And especially when they betray the trust that has been placed in them. When they sell the ummah and its fortunes away to the enemies of Islam, then we can understand what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was talking about. Look at the corruption that has set in. Just for dollars and just for pounds, what our Muslim governments are prepared to do. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, إِذَا كَانَ أُمَرَاءُكُمْ خِيَارَكُمْ وَأَغْنِيَاءُكُمْ سُمَحَاءَكُمْ. And your rich people will be generous kind of people. That they will not be there just to hoard their wealth. They will realize and recognize that in this wealth which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us, which is over and above our needs and our requirements, it is a surplus. Then in there is a share for the poor, for the needy, for the widows, for the orphans, for the destitute. The person will make use of it himself too, for his family also. He will save some part of it too. Nothing wrong with it. That is all part of Sharia and Deen. Tawakkul doesn't mean that you leave the camel loose. You tie the camel and trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi, in his time, he said to the learned people and to the scholars of deen, he said that this is a time when you should have some wealth in your possession. If you are not going to have wealth in your possession, people will use you like handkerchiefs. Like how people use handkerchief to wipe their noses. Like that they will use you if you do not have some kind of wealth. Because the time will come when people will be only recognizing a person if he has got some kind of wealth. No matter what kind of nasihat he gives and what kind of advices he gives, and no matter what kind of waaz he gives, and no matter what kind of fiqh and jurisprudence he understands, and no matter what kind of mufassir and mufassir he is, muhaddis and mufassir. But if that person is a pauper, he is in torn and tattered clothes, then and patched clothes, then people don't want to even listen to him. So now that requirement of wealth is not for the sake of dunya, that is for the sake of deen, that the person, if he's going to have some kind of wealth, he will have some kind of independence. And if he's going to have some kind of independence, then he will say only that which is haqq. Then he's not going to sell fatwas. Then that person is not going to stoop to low levels. Then that person is not going to play to the tune of the audience. then that person will save that which is the Quran and that which is the Sunnah. So it was for the sake of Deen that the people will now be able to listen. They will realize that if this person, we want to buy him off, we will not be able to do so. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the rich will be of a generous nature. And your affairs will be sorted out by mutual consultation and discussion. There will be shura that will take place. In other words, consultation. At present, look at the ummah at large. Look at the division, look at the disunity, look at the friction. Look at the Arab world, divided into so many little territories. Nobody has got any real power or voice. Yet if they could have become one ummah, what a power and what a force it would have been. So he said, their affairs will be by mutual discussion. There will be no dictatorial rule. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, and at that time, it is better for you to be on the surface of the earth than to be beneath the surface of the earth. That means when you have such a kind of situation in your country, in your city, in your locality, then at that time it is better, it's good that you are on the surface of the earth. But when your rulers and your leaders will be the worst amongst you, worst in character, worst in morals, worst in behavior, there will be nothing but corruption and destruction in their lives. There will be nothing but evil in their lives. There will be nothing but disobedience to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their lives. And your rich people will be those who will have become very, very miserly. That they cannot part with that wealth. They just enjoy seeing the bank balance rise, but they cannot seem to distribute anything from there to the poor, the needy, the destitute and the needy ones. And your affairs also will be resolved. Your consultation, it will be with your women folk. That's about all. Now you can see the demand in Muslim lands and other places that you must have 50% seats reserved in parliament, in cabinet, and in every place for the women folk, that we are going to make mashwara with them. Now battles to be waged and all other kinds of matters in which you require the women folk to be all at those meetings and in the front line. Is that what the right of the woman is? So it's not that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not recognize who gave rights to the women. There was no one else who gave rights to the women except Islam. That woman who was treated as a dog, treated like a doormat, who came and gave her rights, raised her to such a high pedestal and high status, made her the queen of the house, gave her a share in the inheritance, gave her so much of rights as a mother, as a wife, as a sister, as a daughter. Who gave her all those rights? But we go blind. We think that America, Europe, they are giving rights. What they want is nothing but enjoyment, fun and pleasure. Look at the number of incidents that are taking place. Look at the sexual harassment that is taking place in the workplaces, in the offices, in the parliament, and in the assemblies and everywhere else. Now what is the solution to that problem? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when that happens, then at that time it's better for you to be underneath than to be on the surface of the earth. So that person will go past, he'll come back to the grave and he'll say, "Hi, I wish I was in this grave instead of this person." But not because of deen, it is going to be because of the distressful situation that he finds himself in. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he has warned the ummah with regards to fitnas. So the time will come when the qatil and the maqtul, the person who is killing and the person who is killed, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the qatil and the maqtul, both of them will go to the fire of Jahannam. So the question arises that the person who got killed, why should he go to the fire of Jahannam? The person who murdered, we can understand. So the explanation that has been given, and we have to understand this in its proper perspective, is that both of them were desirous of killing one another. And neither did the person who killed, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say, neither will the person who kills know why he is killing, and nor will the person murdered know why he was murdered. Nobody will know. Look at the orders that come from the top level. Pakistani government ordered they're going to bombard that madrasa. 80 innocent young students were all martyred and became shaheed. Now from whom did that order come? From a kuffar government, from a non-Muslim government, from America. And even if America was behind it, then where was this Muslim ruler? What kind of a puppet he was? Why didn't he first investigate properly what those students were doing? And is it haram if those students were doing some exercising? Is it haram? Young children, 12, 18, 16, all bombarded. How many other places? Then take Iraq, take Iran, take Afghanistan, and take every part of the world. How many people lose their lives? The person who is bombing does not know why I am told to bomb. He does not know. He is sitting in his barracks somewhere, or he is sitting somewhere, and he receives a command that you must pilot the plane and go and throw bombs there, finish. So he too doesn't know why he is going and bombing. And those people, innocent ones who are being killed, they too don't know why they are being killed. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that this time will come, and Qiyamah will not come until these type of things are happening. So we have to be very much on guard. The time has expired. We have to be very much on guard. Fitnas are pouring in our lives. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives me life and health and an opportunity to continue, we'll continue. But this is a very, very important and a pertinent and relevant subject for the times, because people are just left, right and center making such kind of statements that it shocks us beyond belief that a Muslim could be making such a kind of statement. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is not fair. I don't wish to believe in that Allah anymore, na'uzu billah, who does this and who does that. So then is Allah Ta'ala in need of us, or we are in need of Him? May Allah Ta'ala give me, give you and the Ummah the tawfiq of amal. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships, the pain, the problem, the suffering of the Ummah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala give victory to the Mujahideen of Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.